Blog Talk Radio.
Whether you're looking to stand up or blend in, you're still going to need to stand up for yourself. My name is Emily Leibelberger. I'm here tonight with Mark Gorkin. Hi, Mark. How are you?
I'm feeling outstanding.
Good. Good. I messed up that first thing. It's supposed to be whether you're looking to stand out or blend in. You're still going to need to stand up for yourself. So tonight we're actually talking about, I just had to get that in there, we're actually talking about confidence boosting and essentially boundary setting. So standing up for ourselves, standing up for yourselves requires boundaries. Mark, what do you think about boundaries?
Ooh, I got to tell you, you hit a hot button. When it comes to standing up for myself, I certainly can remember a time in my life when I wasn't able to,
mm-hmm.
when I was so dependent on other people's approval.
Right, yeah.
How they thought, what they thought of me. I didn't feel strong enough or confident enough to really tell people to, hey, buzz off. You know,
yeah,
I don't appreciate
right.
how you the way you're taunting me.
Right, yeah.
And so boundaries really takes a certain amount of strength and skills to do it effectively.
Right, whether you're looking at, you know, your professional relationships, personal relationships, both, boundaries are integral for success, for being able to have that confidence and stand up for yourself.
You know, and also in terms of creativity,
mm-hmm.
problem solving,
mm-hmm.
you know, hey, can I push the boundaries here
mm-hmm.
and try something new? Is how are people going to respond to that? Getting back to your opening,
mm-hmm.
you know, do I want to stand out in this situation?
Mm-hmm.
You know, chances are I'm going to, you know, what did the Japanese have a quote? The nail that sort of stands out gets hammered down. So it's boundary setting involves risk taking, involves letting go,
mm-hmm.
involves, I think, ultimately protecting your integrity.
Right, right. So tell me what you mean by integrity in this case.
Well, integrity, you know, it probably has a few definitions. You know, when we think of integrity, we think of someone, you know, Gary Cooper in High Noon is the epitome of integrity. He, you know, he's going to stand up, he's going to do his profession, he's going to protect the town, even though everybody else is abandoning him, basically.
Mm-hmm. Right, right.
You know, so there's an element of courage, there's an element of this is who I am.
Right.
This is
right.
what's happening to me in relation to you.
Mm-hmm.
I have these thoughts and feelings. I need to express them.
This is where I end and you begin. Maybe it's that, even just that awareness of who I am and where those boundaries are between. Because I know a lot of people, they don't always have those boundaries. They don't always know where they end and someone else begins.
Yeah. Good point.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe, you know, we talk about interdependence.
Mm-hmm.
That may be an example of where dependency goes too far into codependence.
Yeah, right, right.
You know, where
right.
my sense of self really is determined
by
how you relate to me and how you perceive me.
Absolutely.
And it certainly goes back to our roots and families,
mm-hmm.
you know, where, you know, I've mentioned how I've been in these 12 steps groups and don't talk, don't trust, don't feel.
Mm-hmm.
And I think those are three keys to having shaky boundaries.
Some people would argue that those are boundaries themselves, although the question I would ask is, you know, how well is that playing out for you? Are you able to have the life that you want with those boundaries? And, you know, so getting back to that kind of the life that you want to live, you know, we're talking about standing up for ourselves. Some people are going to want to stand out. Some people, I'm a very extroverted person. I still need my alone time. But, you know, I kind of enjoy standing out from the crowd. It's kind of fun for me. But a lot of my clients and a lot of my friends, honestly, are people that are, they want to really blend in. They want to be able to blend in, but they don't want to be a doormat. They don't want to be taken advantage of. So we're going to talk a little bit about how you can stand up for yourself without standing out, right? And being able to blend in and stay in that comfortable place for you, but still have confidence and still earn respect.
You know, the other piece, and then I think we've been circling around this,
mm-hmm.
is the whole notion of feedback.
Sure.
Giving and receiving feedback. And I think for me, receiving feedback not getting defensive, mm-hmm. not putting up an iron wall, you know, an iron curtain, letting the feedback penetrate, even if it hurts a little bit or even if it sort of bruises my ego a little bit, mm-hmm. and not being so quick to react,
yeah.
to really just let it soak in. That's, I think, an open or permeable boundary that really allows for growth.
Right, right, absolutely. Yeah, and I think, so we can talk about feedback, giving it, receiving it, especially when I think when we're talking about boundaries, I think they're both extremely important. But there definitely needs to be a way to kind of interject and say, okay, you know, I accept what you're telling me. Let me think about it, right?
I think that's so important. Talk about a great boundary preserver.
Mm-hmm.
Is you don't have to immediately respond.
Right,
you don't have to have an answer that's good enough to hold up in a court of law.
You know, you do this a lot. You do that a lot. Like when I give you feedback, you're like, I have to think about that one for a little while. And I'm good with that, right? Because I understand that this is kind of different. You know, Mark and I are very, very different in the way that we work. Mark's more inspirational. I'm more kind of marketing results-oriented. And there's room for both of those things in our partnership. And so I'll say to him, you know, hey, Mark, you know, you might want to think of wording something this way. And he's like, I'm not ready to do that, but I'll think about it. You know, you're really good about that. You're really good about
it. It just shows that I at least have a modicum of control over my ego. But
inside, he's all defensive.
Right.
Yeah.
But you know what? Maybe that's part of the boundary, that you don't always have to wear everything, your heart on your sleeve completely.
Right, so we're talking about personal, professional boundaries first. Which one did we want to talk about?
Let's go for the professional.
All right,
I think we're there already.
Okay. So we're talking about professional boundaries. So at the workplace, there's a lot of intimidation that goes on. Some people would even refer to it as bullying that goes on in the workplace. And I've worked with countless folks who they'll talk to me about a situation. Yeah, we need communication help, you know, because there are these people that aren't talking and they haven't talked for 5 years and yet they're supposed to be talking. And well, come to find out, I'm usually talking to one of those people. Well, who are those people? Oh, well, it's me and this other person down the hall. Okay, all right, well, what's going on? And come to find out, usually the person I'm talking to is very intimidated by this other person down the hall. In fact, the person down the get their job to be intimidating, to kind of fend off, to kind of keep away, keep out. They've got their door closed all the time, and they're just very abrupt, very maybe loud, whatever it is. You ever come across people like that, Mark?
Yeah, you know, actually, oftentimes when you see people who are hostile or sort of quick to, you know, blow up or blow smoke,
mm-hmm.
you made a good point. They're really doing it to keep you away.
Right,
or
right.
to keep people away from their own feelings of inadequacy and vulnerability.
Absolutely, yeah.
And I think that we sometimes, you know, we just feel the heat and, you know, I don't like being attacked or
right.
I'm scared. But we're not able to see that
right.
this person inside is probably at least as shaky.
Absolutely.
So they've developed a good smoke screen, so to speak.
Well, it's a boundary, right? That door is a boundary. That attitude of arrogance is a boundary that they've set up. It's not a healthy boundary, right? Because it's probably not enabling them to live the life that they really want to live. But it is keeping people away, which on a surface level is what they want because they don't want to be found out for, you know, they're going to find me out for the fact that I'm not really qualified to do this. Or it's that fear of being found out for that negative truth as they see it.
And at the same time, while I can empathize with that intimidator,
right.
I also want to have tools in my possession to put some boundaries, set some limits
right.
on that person. And
so
one
let's
of the things,
go back, let's go back
yeah, okay.
to the person, right, a person on the phone, let's say, the person I'm talking to, the person who is intimidated. So we'll go back to them, and so then the issue becomes, well, what can I do to stand up for myself without making a scene, without, you know, getting fired? And there's a couple of things that I would suggest, and a lot of times this is conflict that's been going on for a while. So it might even just be something as simple as showing them that you're not a threat to them, right? So setting the boundary of opening your own door, if that can really be a boundary. But it is. It's sort of inviting them, right, kind of helping them to feel like, okay, I'm not a threat to you, right? So maybe smile at them when you're walking down the hall. And that really transforms a lot. Because people that aren't able to talk, right, if you exchange a glance, a smile, a nod, right, an acknowledgement of their presence, but not in an intimidating way, it's sort of setting that boundary of, you know, hey, it's okay if we talk, right? So in a way that's sort of opening a boundary. What do you think, Mark? What are your thoughts on that?
I think there's, at times, I'm going to call it the tactical approach that you're suggesting. At other times, I have sort of evolved into, I have to trust my gut.
Mm-hmm.
And if it feels like, you know, there's venom coming at me or something, you know, if I just take this conversation, mm-hmm. I'm going to leave this office or this place. I know beating myself up, or it's going to gnaw at me that why didn't I say something, or why did I let this person talk to me that way?
Right.
And so what I've learned is to be able to, I can think of this guy, you know, another fellow consultant, a family life counselor,
mm-hmm.
who suddenly just started talking to me in a condescending, and I said, you know what, you can't talk to me that way.
Mm.
You can't talk. You got, you know, something we need to talk about, let's talk. But you can't talk to me with that tone.
Or another approach might be, you know, I'm feeling like I'm being talked to in a really negative tone right now, right? And so always owning that feeling. I mean, because the reality is they can talk to you that way if they want to.
Well,
but the reality is you're not going to
stand
for it.
But the reality, also the reality is my saying that broke his cycle of you know, hostile communication.
Mm-hmm.
No, I agree with you,
mm-hmm.
the importance of I versus you messages.
Yeah.
You know, probably in a perfect world I would have said, I'm not going to be talked to that way.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I mean, that's probably a little softer. I think that, you know, and that's it. So then when you get that conversation, right, so if you smile politely, it can kind of disarm some stuff, right? But then when you ultimately do talk, it's on ownership, owning your own feelings, right? So you can do this without standing out, right? You can do it in a very calm way, like, you know, okay, I'm kind of feeling attacked right now. I'm kind of feeling like you haven't really heard where I'm coming from. I'm kind of feeling, right? And so owning that and seeing where it goes, a lot of times the other person will be like, okay, all right. But they won't, they might not know really what to do with that. But you've owned the feeling. You didn't place it on them. So there's just a couple, we could talk all night about this, but there's just a couple really, you know, hands-on techniques that you can use. So that would just be sort of like, you know, visually not being threatening and being welcoming and then owning your feelings, right? I'm feeling this. I'm feeling like I haven't quite been heard. Can we try that again?
I like it. I would also say that don't express it in a way that's devoid of emotion. Because then it's going to feel like you're giving a mixed message.
Yeah, most of my clients are engineers, so most of them are.
I would say make sure you have at least some volume in your voice. In other words, communication isn't just words. It's a whole body language, it's tone, it's all these elements that come together.
Well, we're just talking about basic ideas. I absolutely agree. It's something to keep in mind is the inflection, right? So what you're saying is, like, don't be afraid to have a little bit of inflection to say, you know, I'm honestly, because if someone's talking, blah, 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 you saying, I'm really not feeling heard. That's not going to cut
it. Exactly. Thank you.
Right, right. So, yeah, match them. Stand up for yourself, right? And yeah, absolutely give you the confidence to do that.
Yeah. And it's going to take practice. Mm-hmm. And you know what? You may want to practice with someone else, someone that you know, someone you can role play with,
yes,
or, you know, someone where something comes up, you know, so you probably articulate, you know, your concern a little bit more than you normally would. And you can even explain to them afterwards, you know, I'm really practicing to get ready to deal with that supervisor.
Yeah, absolutely.
But,
right, let's talk about some personal stuff. So in your personal relationships, because every professional has personal relationships.
You know, I'm going to sort of take a 180-degree spin on this because,
good.
Again, I want to stay with that time when I was bullied as a kid. And what I wasn't able to do, this is how codependent I was. I had an opportunity to break away from these fellows, or maybe just they lived in my large building, but I couldn't even do that. Mm-hmm. I was still so needy of both their approval and, if I'm not there, what are they going to be thinking about me? Are they going to be plotting, you know, are they going to try to get me somehow? So it's like I needed to, I still was staying around them, even though that was unhealthy.
So it was like almost uncomfortably comfortable?
Well, it was just the devil you know is better than
right,
the...
Right, right.
And but I finally, you know, after a few years, finally got, you know, met some new friends, new guys to hang out with, and that was the key, to get out of that situation.
You know, I would just watch this thing on TV the other day about how we've got this whole drug addiction theory wrong, and, you know, they were talking about how people, I guess how people in the Vietnam War used a lot of heroin. I didn't know that. I did not know that at all. And then... So they used a lot of heroin, they came back, and they weren't addicted to it. They were just able to, like, turn it off and, like, not use it anymore. And we spend hundreds of thousands of millions, whatever, dollars a year treating people for heroin addiction. It's just this awful addiction to fight. And so the premise of this show is that people who came back from Vietnam, they had families, they had active, healthy connections that they were returning to. And really the key then for fighting drug dependence is developing those healthy connections, keeping those healthy connections. And that's really not what recovery focuses on. It is a part of recovery through self-help and everything like that, but it is very much focused a lot on, okay, well, we're going to give you this medication to combat this and to kind of like help your body recover from this. And we're missing sometimes. We miss that connection piece. So it just made me think when you're talking about boundaries and you're talking about, then I found some healthier friends, right? You developed some of those healthy connections, and it allowed you to kind of escape from that devil that you know being so much better than the
devil.
You know,
I'm thinking about something that I experienced, you know, or at least was involved with as a therapist and now even in these 12-step groups, is how many battered spouses, usually battered women, it's so hard to leave.
Right.
And there are good reasons. It's not just, oh, come on,
there's
just
the kids,
get out. It's the money issue.
Money.
It's the psychological, emotional dependence, the lack of confidence.
They haven't worked in years. Right,
so, you know, I'm not saying this, as I say, it took me several years to escape one group and find this other group.
Mm-hmm.
So, but that's something, if you know you're in a self-defeating, if not abusive, situation, all I can say is don't suffer in silence. At least begin to talk to someone.
What do you do if talking to someone results in battering?
I'm not sure what you mean.
Well, I think, you know, you just brought up the example of battered spouses, right? Well, what if talking to someone... The fear is that the spouse will find out and then the retaliation will happen, right, on their part. So what do you do? What does one do in that situation?
Well, I think if it's a bad enough situation, they're getting battered whether they talk to someone or not.
That's fair enough.
So that, you know, you may have to be discreet, but I'm sure a person that's lived in a battered relationship has learned how to deviate a little bit to, you know, they have to find a little bit of private time or they would go totally crazy.
Mm-hmm.
So they have some survival instincts.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just often they develop those instincts to protect their children.
Right.
So, and that's a good point, that sometimes we have stronger boundaries for others, but we don't employ them for ourselves.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I think mothering is a really good example of that, you know.
You want to take a quick shot on the couch?
Sure. All right. So I am on the couch. I'm really on a chair, but the figurative couch. And, so, you know, Mark asked me what I want to talk about before the show, and I have really good boundaries. Sometimes they're almost too good. Well, actually, I didn't say that. He was like, well, are they too good? Are you too good at setting boundaries? I'm like, yeah, it's a good question. Yeah, Mark, go ahead and shrink me on that one.
Well, I'll tell you why I thought it, because I think a lot of assertive people who have learned how to...
I am not
going
to let you talk to me that way. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah. Who have had to, you know, develop their realm of control.
Yeah.
Even if they're not too good, others perceive them as,
mm-hmm.
you know, very strong or, you know, a tough nut to crack or,
right.
you know, someone that I'm not sure I want to get into an argument with this gal. And so they may, in a way, not push up against us when we really do need some of that
yeah.
pushback.
Mm-hmm.
And so it would be ironic that our strength can paradoxically, ironically, sometimes lead to glorious isolation.
Sure.
So that's what I'm, you know, that's where I'm going with that. As one possibility, that people see you as strong and tough, and, you know, she argues, you know, she gives, well, at least as good as she gets, you know, am I ready to take her on?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, generally I think that kind of works for me more than it works against
okay.
me. There is an area where I think it works against me, but I'll talk about that in a minute. I think it really works for me, though, because let's talk about friendship, right? I'm not someone that has – I actually have a lot of friends, but I'm not someone that needs a lot of friends. I want a handful of close friends. I definitely have that. And then I've kind of got, I would say, kind of another layer of friends that aren't maybe as close, but they're still – I don't necessarily – I don't need more friends, but I'm always open. So I almost think that boundary, people who aren't up to the challenge, for lack of a better word, you know, it sounds, but, you know, we can't all be friends with everybody. And so I almost feel like that kind of works out, right? I might not be the right friend for them anyway. I may not be the right person for them. I don't want them to feel like they can't talk to me. In fact, it was really kind of a cool compliment. I have a friend of mine who... she's very intelligent. She's very capable, but I wouldn't necessarily call her very assertive. And she said one day, she's like, I know I'm able to be honest with you. And that really meant a lot because I do take great care in what you're saying, especially with my friends.
Mm.
I'm less careful with people that aren't in that inner circle, but with my inner circle, I'm really careful because I don't want her to lose that, right? I don't want my friends to feel like they can't be honest with me just because they're not quite as assertive as I am. But an area I think that I've got some room to grow in, sometimes I think I'm a little bit too rigid and I don't always live life to the fullest in terms of things I will do and things I will not. I'm very boundary conscious with my house. Sometimes I wish I was more open with, like, just having people over. It's okay if the house gets messed up kind of approach that I don't always have. Sometimes I just like, want things the way I have them, and I want it clean. I don't want anyone to come mess it up.
Of course, it's pretty hard when you got a 6-year-old and a 4-year-old.
It is.
I
cling to that organization, and I like things organized. You know, before I was married, I had... My dorm room was spotless. I mean, it was clean. My house growing up was clean, and my parents' house was not very clean. My house growing up was clean. That was my boundary. I was able to have that. Well, now that I'm married and I have kids, that boundary is a lot harder. I'm constantly fighting these people that live in my house, right? Yeah, go ahead.
Can we maybe paint a picture of what were your boundaries as a single woman, your boundaries as a married woman, your boundaries as a mother? How do they evolve?
In terms of,
you know, how open or loose or, you know, how much a little bit of chaos I could tolerate. It sounds like when you were, you know, or, you know, you were talking about the neatness of your room or the orderliness of your room.
Well, I took a lot more risks interpersonally when I was single. So, like, you know, I'd hang out with almost anybody. Now that I'm a mother, I have to think about things, you know. Is this person... What's their background? Who are they? you know.
Now, was your husband as orderly, you know?
Oh, okay, so let's talk about that. Orderly, no. I knew I was in trouble when I walked into his dorm room and it was a mess.
Okay.
It would still be a mess, but, well, it kind of is.
So how did you decide that you could live with that change of boundary or change of rule?
I think, honestly, it was a give and take, right? So, like, if I could have continued the quest for a husband that was neat and clean like me, and really that's kind of a shallow thing, like, you know, to give up on someone because of. So I knew that would be a battle, though. I'm not going to lie. Like, I knew that was going to be hard for me. But I knew it was worth it because, you know, I'd find the neat, clean person, and he'd probably be really boring or something.
Okay. So boundaries, you know, on the one hand, we have to be aware of what our expectations, what
right.
our needs are.
Right.
And yet, sometimes there are greater needs or greater values that transcend our immediate day-to-day sort of boundaries, and that maybe can open us up to expanding our way of being.
Yeah, and I think, you know, I mean, like I said, all my really close friends kind of get this about me. They kind of know it's an issue, and it's not even like, I don't know, I did a lot of play dates with my kids. So play dates, you have a bunch of parents over, and they bring their kids, and they all play, and they trash the house, and it is what it is. I used to do that a lot when my kids were really small, and then I just burnt out. I was just done, and that was about a year and a half ago. And since then, maybe even 2 years ago, and we moved. We have a new house now, and it's a little bigger. We have a little more space. But I'm not doing play dates at my house anymore with more than one family. That's all I do now, and that's, I think, a healthy boundary that I've adopted.
I think you know me, but two B words, burnout and boundary.
Yeah.
I think that's a real good sign. If you're starting to burn out,
then you set a
boundary. I will venture to say there's some area in your life where the boundary is not working for you
You have. Right. So that's a really good question, right? So if you start to feel really tired, I know if I start to feel really tired about something, I'm just like, I'm done. I don't want to do this anymore. I'm feeling burnt out. Well, a question might be, what's not working for you? What is burning you out? Where do you feel the boundary might not be in place that needs to be in place? And I knew immediately. I was like, I'm having too many play dates. I'm having my house just trashed too much. I can't do it anymore. All right. But I don't want to not have people over. So the boundary I'm attempting to implement. But I think it's coming time, though, where I'm not actually being as social as I want to be, so I think I need to kind of work on that a little bit.
And maybe you needed to rejuvenate a little bit to begin to. Because sometimes smartest thing we can do is to crawfish, to back away for a while.
Yeah, absolutely.
Take a time out,
yeah.
And then figure out, how do I want to jump into the fray again?
That makes sense to me, yeah.
Okay, well, you know, we're just about ready to finish up, and I've got my two sayings that I've been sitting here patiently, exercising boundaries.
Uh-huh.
Okay, these are the two-letter word that we didn't fully. 90 seconds. Okay, no. A firm no a day keeps the ulcers away and the hostilities too. And finally, do know your limits and don't limit your nose.
Nice.
There
awesome.
You go.
Thanks so much, Mark. As always, we'd love to hear your comments on Facebook, and let us know of some show ideas that you have. Thank you for tuning in to Partnerships That Drive Performance. Take care.